Yesterday I was speaking with two Jewish ladies. And, actually in the past couple of days I've been speaking to some Jewish people. And they gave me the impression that they knew more about our celebrations than many Christians know or believe. One gentleman told me, he asked me whether I'm celebrating Christmas, and I said, well, I'm celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. He is a Yeshua. And he said, yeah, but think about this. Do you know who is promoting it more than Christians? I said, who? He said, we, the Jewish people, because it's good for business. Now, he was right. He was very right, because he explained to me that all these little advertising jingles and songs and very often come from businessmen who want to promote Christmas. And then two ladies yesterday, I came and my wife was there, and I was talking to them, and they were not the very religious, and yet they were Jewish background and they knew their culture very well. And she said, well, I don't know, sir, she said, why that Christians don't want to believe that Jesus was a Jew. Well, I said, the disciples were Jews, and yet Jesus actually was not Jew. He was the Son of God. He was born by a Jewish, he came to this earth through a Jewish young teenage girl. And why am I saying all this? Is to bring you to the reality of Christmas and who Jesus really is. People around the world are celebrating Christmas with all its cultural traditions and activities. But most don't know or even care the real reason and who Christ is. And how many of those who are celebrating His name or are called by His name, Christian, really know who He is? Yes, people say, you go to the barber shop, you go to a store, they say, oh yeah, Jesus was... some will even say He was the Son of God. Others would say He was this teacher. And yet, even among Christians, those who claim to be Christians and followers of Christ don't really know who Christ is and what He does in the lives of those who make Him their Lord and Savior. If you had to draw a picture of Jesus Christ from what you have read in the Bible or heard from others, but not from some imaginary pictures you have seen of Christ, because there are a lot of pictures of Christ. Some pictures are black Jesus, some are yellow, some other Chinese-looking Jesus, and most of them are blonde, blue eyes, beautiful-looking baby Jesus. Not those pictures. But if you had to draw a picture, if someone came to me and say, to me or to you and said, okay, from what you know from the Bible, from what you feel about Jesus, draw me a picture, just an imaginary picture of who Jesus really is. And if you had to do it, would it be a gentle-looking Jesus carrying a lamb? Jesus was gentle, but He was also tough. Jesus actually was very gentle, very nice to the sinners, to the prostitute, to the demon-possessed, and to people who came to Him. And yet He was tough enough to go to the temple and make a whip and throw all the hypocrites and all the businessmen and all those who had turned the house of prayer into a business center. Would that picture be a revolutionary Jesus, a Bible in one hand and a machine gun in the other? Yes, Jesus was a revolutionary. He said, "I have come to cast fire on the earth." That sounds like a revolution. But his revolution was a revolution of love and not guns. I was talking to a gentleman from another religion, and I said, "You know what? Christians are asked to love their neighbors, but also their enemies." He said, "Oh yeah, that's why they killed thousands and millions of people, and that's why they hate each other." I said, Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, not religious people. We know that God never came up with a religion. God never came up with a religious dogma or something like that. But God is our creator. He is our sustainer. God created every human being, and God is willing to forgive every human being that comes in repentance, and he loves people everywhere, regardless of their color, race, or religion. What would it be like? A rich-looking Jesus in a palace in fine clothing? Well, although he created and owned everything, he had no place to lay his head. A young man came to him and said, "Master, Rabbi, invite me to your home. I would like to come and see your home." Jesus said to him, "Young man, you know, folks have their own holes, and birds have their own nests. But the Son of Man, I don't have a place to put my head." Think about this when you celebrate Christmas. The best possible clothing, the best possible lighting, the best possible decoration, the best possible food, the best possible fellowship time. All these are great. I mean, as I said last Sunday, there's nothing wrong in decorating your home with colorful lights. There's nothing wrong in putting a tree outside or in your house and decorating with lights. If you say, "Oh yeah, I have a beautiful light," if we take... But to say that you're doing that because the Bible says so, to say that you're doing that because you want to remember the Lord, well, as I mentioned last Sunday, if we really want to remember the Lord, we must remember what he said to this person. Folks have their holes, birds have their nests, but I don't have any place to put my head. A sad-looking Jesus with tears in his eyes. Yes, Jesus wept, but made many happy and brought great joy. Yes, the picture would have been exactly as you would draw it. If you would say Jesus was a revolutionary, he was gentle, he was rich-looking, he was the one who brought joy. And yet, at the same time, the opposite of that would be a Jesus who came to and said that, "I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring the sword between father and son, between mother and daughter, between brother and sister." Why? Because if anyone decides to follow me, he will have enemies. And I remember of one situation when we were with my wife, we went to a mission trip, and there was a young girl in her early 20s. She accepted the Lord. She became a believer. She said, "If I tell my parents that I become a believer and that I'm being baptized, they will throw me out of the house." Well, that's what he meant. And I know young men and women who, when they became believers, their parents threw them out. I remember a long time ago, a Jewish singer came here, and his name was Solomon King, and that's a long time ago. And I remember my wife and I went to to the service, and he said, when I became a believer, my parents said, you are dead. You are not part of the family. This is what happens when you really believe in Jesus, believe enough to say, I will follow Jesus no matter what. The problem has become that our messages today are not telling the truth. The messages today are, if you want to be blessed, and if you want to have health and prosperity and a good time and all the joy, you become a Christian, you come to the front. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus is the one who brought peace and joy in the heart, and not necessarily in our activities, but our heart, the change of our heart will affect all our activities. Although all these things are true, as some people may draw, the truth of the matter is the question, once again, who is Christ? He is the greatest figure in the human history. There is more evidence for Jesus than there is about Julius Caesar. There is more evidence. Although Jesus was perfectly human, he would get tired, sleepy, he would weep and get angry. He was at the same time more than human. He was hungry, but he fed thousands of people. He was tired, but he would stand up and cause the storms to stop. He wept when his friend died, but he raised him from the dead. He wept when his friend died, but he raised him from the dead. God, Jesus, weeps at those who are spiritually dead. He really cares. You may say, well, you know, God doesn't care about me. Well, what God can do to me? Or I have come to a point in my life that nothing can save me. That is not coming from God. That's not in the Bible. That's from the devil that says, oh, you have crossed the line. You can never come back. The truth of the matter is, there is no such a line. The only line there is death. And if you cross that line of death, then it's too late. But before that, this loving Jesus who came to this earth, and we are celebrating Christmas. Christmas celebration means good news, joy. Celebrate his birth. I did not say, and I will never say, that we should not celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. It is the greatest news that the human race has ever heard. And yet we should not forget that when Jesus was being born, all there was a cross. And that was his journey from his birth to the cross. And then from the cross to the earth. And then resurrection. Apostle Paul says, if there is no such a thing as resurrection, we must be all fools and miserable people. He was tired, but he could stand up and cause the storms to stop. Jesus made some shocking claims about himself, actually. He claimed to have no sin. He claimed to be one with God, the Father. He claimed to be able to forgive sins. He said, come to me instead of go to God. Now this is something that we must all remember. Jesus said, come to me. Jesus never said, go to my mother. Jesus never said, go to Peter. Jesus never said, go to Paul. Jesus never said, go to whatever. Jesus said, come to me. So that is a very powerful statement and shocking for those who heard it. And because there were many opinions concerning Jesus. One day he asked his disciples the following question. Who do people say I am? Mark 8:27. Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The word Christ, Christos in Greek, is the anointed. His name is Jesus, the anointed. Now, if Jesus was not the Son of God, he would have corrected Peter, but instead he said, "Blessed are you, Simon, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Either Jesus was the greatest liar on earth or a lunatic, or he is who he claimed to be. Jesus came with a mission. He came to fulfill God's plan to save the human race from eternal death. Man-made religions are men trying to reach God. But Jesus is God reaching out to us, each one of us. Jesus made many claims that were hard to understand. He said, "I am the bread of life." That made no sense to those Jews who were following him. They were expecting and waiting for a Messiah. The Messiah would come and bring them food, enough peace, enough joy, enough of everything. And yet, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Young people are spiritually hungry today, searching to find something that can fill that emptiness. Suicides have become a way of life rather than the exception. In the past few weeks, I've heard so many murders and suicides at the same time. When people have no hope, when people have no God, when people have no Jesus, when the Holy Spirit is not there to help them deal with the situation, they will become desperate. And in desperation, before they kill themselves, they will kill others. Now, people say, "Well, we live in bad times, the unemployment, corruption, all these." Well, to be honest with you, this has been going on from the beginning of creation. And yet, I believe the only thing that will bring some sanity, some hope to the father, to the mother, to the children who are going through a terrible situation at home is God. The only hope there is for the businessman who has lost everything and now he is destitute, no place to stay, is God, Jesus, the only hope. And when all that disappears, in desperation, they kill themselves. Young people today are bombarded with information that is bad for them. Young people today are exposed to drugs and immorality and corruption. When they look around them and they see their leaders corrupt, when they look around them and they see the law corrupt, and when they look around in the church and they don't find any hope, any truth about their claims, they do get discouraged and disappointed and leave the church, and they even want to leave life. They get out of this earth and commit suicide. Jesus said, "I am the light." Life without Christ is like groping in darkness. Jesus said, "I am the way and truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is what we're celebrating. We're celebrating Jesus, the Son of God, who came to bring hope and life. Yeah, Christmas trees and lights and food and everything is okay, but you can do it anytime. Do it anytime. Don't blame Jesus for all your problems now. Come Christmas, all the expenses and the heartaches you will entertain your in-laws and your everyone else. It's not the fault of Jesus. He never asked us to do it. Fear of the future and death are fears that most of us are affected by. Life without the hope of life after death is like a tragedy, a tragodia in Greek, a play having a high purpose and sad ending. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of the living God. He is the only light, the only truth, and the only life. The portion I read this morning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, described Jesus absolutely, completely. He is God. The world has become a society of short-sighted, selfish, and materialistic individuals ready to give almost anything in order to get money and pleasure. Pleasure has become the god of today's society. At one time they would give anything, even pleasure, to get money. Now they will give up even money, their riches, to have a moment of pleasure. That's why you see government officials and directors and all kinds of people falling from their position because of pleasure. Jesus said, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus also said, "Come to me and I'll give you rest." You don't have to be perfect to come to him. Come as you are. And when we say this, I know some people say, yeah, you say come as you are, but if I come as I am, God is going to throw me out the door. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't want me. Just remember the example I gave you last week or so about this gentleman who is on death row. Three times was condemned to die. And yet when he accepted Jesus Christ, he said, "That's no problem. I'm ready to die because now there is a meaning for my life." Once again, let me read those two verses. Jesus said, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Come to me and I'll give you rest." Now, I was talking to my grandson and he was playing a little game on his little computer and I said, "You should... that you'll get tired." He says, "No, I'm only moving my little finger." But I said, "Your brain is working hard." So when God says, "I'll give you rest," he doesn't mean that you are working very hard at work or at school and he'll give you rest. That means he'll give you a better job. No, he'll give you rest from that has been ruining your daily life. The pressures that are you cannot overcome, the pressure of being a student, the pressure of being a father, the pressure of being a mother, the pressure of being a child whose parents are always arguing and fighting, and you don't know who to protect and where to go. All these pressures are destroying our society, and young people have nowhere to go. While we are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, And I am encouraging you to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. What I am saying, though, is neither the celebrations the way they have been presented by the businesses, nor the celebrations that are being presented by many religious groups or churches, nor do all these activities in the streets and here and there are really telling the truth or the whole story about who Christ is. But if we know who Christ is, and if we know who Jesus is and why he came and about his mission, then go ahead and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ with your family. And yet, let's emphasize the reason why we're doing it. Not because it's cultural, not because it's good business, not because it excites each one of us, and not because we give gifts or receive gifts. When Jesus was born, actually, people have the wrong impression that people brought gifts when he was born. Actually, he did not get any gifts when he was born. That was later, a couple of years later, when the wise men or people from the Orient came. But when he was born, the only thing he received was simple shepherds who came to worship him. Really, think about it. The shepherds didn't bring any gifts. They just came. They brought themselves to worship Jesus. And if that's the purpose of our celebrations, let's bring ourselves to Jesus and celebrate. But just remember, there are thousands of people who are depressed these days because they have no one to go to, no one that cares for them, and nothing to celebrate about. If we as born-again believers, as Christians, want to really celebrate Christ's birth, let's reach out and bring the good news to people that someone cares, someone loves, and we love them and care for them. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, for coming to this earth, and not only coming to give us a holiday to celebrate, but you came here to save our souls, to die on the cross, and then by being resurrected through your resurrection for us to have eternal life. Help each one of us to really focus on you, and may all our activities be bringing good news. The good news of your love and your compassion toward mankind. In your blessed name I pray, Amen.